I should say this before the offering, but, you know, with Rita gone, moved to Chicago, our, not emphasis on missions, but our conversations on missions have dwindled some. She used to do presentations for us, and we just want to remind you that missions is a big part of what we do, and we've made commitments to 4 missionaries and 1 organization to support them. And we all know how difficult it is when finances don't come in our own lives, and imagine being in a foreign country, maybe with children, and finances don't come in. And so we want to be intentional about that. The reality is that we have the 4+1, and that's not bad for a church our size, and I think it should be double that anyway. There are churches in North Jersey that are live a different world than we do that are given $1+ million a year to missions. Now, I'm not comparing us to them at all. I'm just saying that we've got a ways that we can go. So if you have made a pledge to a missionary, please continue to do that. We will not take on an additional missionary without additional pledges from our people. So keep that in mind. And if you would stand for the reading in Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to skip down and jump, turn pages, and that's why we bring our biblical text with us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, and then I'll be announcing where we go from there. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. Verse 32. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Chapter 11, verse 1. Oh, I'm sorry, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. 11, 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. 11:24. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with his people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than his treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger, but persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Father, we come this morning to worship him who is invisible but is knowable. He who is invisible, but he who also touches our lives. We worship you who are invisible, but you can be experienced. And certainly Jesus is the radiance of you. And so we come to seek you this morning and to hear from you and to find you, even though you may be invisible. Meet us in our need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, obviously this is not a traditional Mother's Day message. And if you look around our congregation, Mother's Day messages are probably a little bit different than in the broader church with a lot of women, future mothers, and so on. And so sometimes it's just the message of God should be sufficient for each one of us, I would hope. Heather was interested in knowing what today's message was because a couple of years ago, I guess I got heavy-handed with mothers and then let the fathers skip on Father's Day. So she wanted to make sure I was being even-handed this year. The one thing I would say about Mother's Day is those of you who are mothers or yet to be mothers, do not forsake the uniqueness of what God has given you. Do not let the world tell you that motherhood is different than God ordained it to be. Do not go there. This year, the attack that I saw, and I'm sure there are many, on mothers is on the uniqueness of breastfeeding. Now, who would have thought in our generations of past that something like that could be attacked as being discriminatory, not natural, and unhealthy? And yet on Fox News, that is exactly the segment that was just a few weeks back. What they're claiming now is that that is not the healthiest source of nourishment for a child, because after all, we have Enfamil. And even that, forgetting the benefit of the child, breastfeeding is now in some minor weirdo circles, is deemed to be enslaving to women and discriminatory. Because we men force women to do what is not natural so that we men don't need to get up in the middle of the night for feedings. I kid you not. I kid you not. And so in order to create a society that is pleasing to us and that is non-discriminatory and that is totally equal to everyone else, we now have to give our children something that is manufactured as opposed to given by God. It's just another way of beating down the family in many of its various forms. And we need to avoid it. We need to resist it. I didn't check into it this morning because I did not have time, but Dylan, my son-in-law, said last night as I was having this kind of conversation with him, he said that he recently read that women breastfeeding is a two-way communication. In the physical, not the emotional. That the mother, of course, is feeding the child. But the child is communicating through its saliva, through the mother's skin, the needs of the child. And that the mother adjusts the formula to the needs of the child. Is that not God, the invisible God, being seen in his nature and his wonder? To think that a factory somewhere can create that kind of a communication of need? I mean, at our age, we go for blood tests, and we wait a week or two, and we find out what we need, and the doctor prescribes a pill, and yet this is happening daily between a mother and child. We are made in the image of God. We, man, mankind, are unique in all of God's creation. Women, young women, you are unique within mankind. Don't trade it. Don't give it up. And don't let your daughters give it up. Or your grandchildren. Let them know that God made them for something special. In spite of all the claims of discrimination, inequality, and all of that, I'm here to declare to you that there are some things in life men can't do. If anybody needs a biology lesson on that, see one of our youngsters, because I'm sure they can clue you in. Okay? You are unique, women. Now, for the rest of us, well, let's go to Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, we read, "The law was only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves." And I want to focus on not the law, but the shadows and the realities. Folks, we live in shadows as well as realities. What are the shadows? The shadows are the now and not yet kind of things. The yes, but not now kind of things. The things that we look at and we say and we claim and we know are true. By his stripes we are healed, but many of us are sick this morning. The shadows to me are those kinds of things. You see, we as humans, we depend on sight. And I think that we depend on sight far more than we were intended to. Sight, if you were to think of your senses, and I said to you, you have to give up one of your senses this morning for the rest of your life, sight is probably the last one on your list. And it would be the most difficult. I can't hear anyway, so it doesn't really matter there. We so depend on sight, and yet sight does not give us the full reality of even what we see. According to one commentator, if we understand the physical basis of light and human vision, we may grasp the scientific truth that the energy information transported by electromagnetic spectrum perceived by the eye consists of only a minuscule fraction of the electromagnetic reality. Visible light consists of far less than 1% of the electromagnetic spectrum. That means that our eyes see 1% of what can be seen. Now that sounds like a crazy concept, but our eyes, as wonderful as they are, were only designed to see certain things. And if you think of energy in the energy out there, we can't see it. Example might be that when I lit our fireplace flue a few years ago, and smoke billowing out, and we called the fire department just to be sure. And they went up into the attic, and they have an infrared gun, and they can see with this gun heat energy. It appears on a screen, and it appears in maybe red, maybe I'm wrong. But this thing can pick that up. That's something that the naked eye cannot see. So our naked eye sees 1% of what could be seen by other means. And yet, if I were to have taken the survey, I bet you all of us would have given up sight last or close to last. And it's the least, well, I shouldn't say the least, I don't know if it's true, but it's an ineffective sense if it's the only one you depend on. It is in part because of this restricted vision that truth can be distorted. It's also true that truth is distorted because of sin. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we could see everything? If we could see beyond what we see now and know beyond what we know now and understand what beyond what we know can understand now, and wouldn't a lot of confusion and distortions be eliminated? Wouldn't a lot of doubts and questions and... But that's not what we have. You know what else would be nice? It'd be nice if we could see God. I mean, many of us would sit there and say, no, I'm good. God and I are good. I don't need to see him. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him now. I'd like to see him here. But I don't. Some of the scriptures teach us that no one has ever seen God except the Son, who is the radiance of God's glory. Other scriptures suggest that Moses saw God face to face, like one man to another, and that Jacob wrestled with God, and that Jacob was amazed that he lived. In truth, those two were shadows. See, the reality is that scripture also teaches us that no man can see God and live. So something is in conflict, and the conflict is solved by the fact that what they saw was God in a form that we could relate to, that they could relate to. They did not see God in all his glory and all his nature, because man would die. And so somehow God had visited upon Jacob, and Jacob did wrestle with a man, and that man was God. But he was not God in all his glory. He truly was not. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, the only God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen." And so there's no mincing words from Paul to Timothy. God is invisible. Paul saw Christ, but never laid claim to seeing the Father. The Father is made manifest in the Son, but the Father has never been seen in his true form. According to Colossians 1:15 out of the Message Bible, we look at this Son and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, ranks and ranks of angels, everything got started in him and find its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it together right up to this moment. This is the God who created everything and holds everything together, but he himself is invisible to us. And we like to say things like seeing is believing. And when I say seeing is believing, I imply that a lack of seeing means there's nothing to see. There's nothing to believe. And yet science has now come to admit this, that an absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. I may not be able to prove to you right now that God heals, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't heal. These are science words. Because you can't see it does not mean that it does not exist. Our sight is limited down to 1%. Very often we need to depend on internal evidence, not vision. What's internal evidence? Well, mothers on Mother's Day, you may not understand this the way maybe I do, and some of us men will understand this, but for a mother, many of them, from the moment of conception, they know they're pregnant, and they're mothers. Internal evidence. And that goes on, that internal evidence goes on for a series of months where you may tell me that you're pregnant, but I don't feel it. I don't see it. And quite frankly, there are times when I don't understand it. Particularly when our first was Vicki was carrying our first. The disconnect between a father, maybe, or at least me, and that child is huge. Because there's no internal evidence. And quite frankly, until Vicki started showing, you know, there was no physical evidence from that I could see. And yet, you mothers would know that, well, I think if your child is a year old today, a year old, I think mothers have been a mother for a year and 9 months and fathers for just a year. Because that child, I don't care how much movement you see in the belly, and I don't care how many sonograms, you ever look at somebody's sonogram? You see my child? No, I don't. Talk about shadows. Oh, that's a beautiful child. People have them on their dashboards of their car in their office. That's my sonogram. Looks like a bad photograph to me. Even those can be distorted. But a mother has the internal evidence. And she's preparing to be a mother. For me, I became a father when I first held my daughter. The moment she came into the world. And it was different because sight. Because I had no internal evidence, I needed the sight. And maybe you don't understand that as a woman, but was my experience. Hebrews 11:27 says, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible." I was a father because my daughter was born because she became visible. The internal experience of a woman I did not experience. Moses left a good life. He left it behind to follow God, and I suspect that when he left Egypt, he was not sure of anything. I mean, he was running. He didn't know what he'd find, and he might have felt some internal evidence that God had him on the move, but we know he spent many years in the wilderness. And he probably had nights of doubts and fears and wishing God would make himself visible. And God did one day make himself visible, not in his true nature, but in a form that Moses could comprehend. And what kept Moses going, the Bible says, is that he saw him, chapter 11, verse 27, "By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible." Now there's something wrong with that statement. He saw him who was invisible. Did Moses' eyes go from our 1% perception to 2% to 10% that he saw God? I mean, it's a bizarre statement. He saw him who is invisible. And yet that's what we have. The writer of Hebrews intentionally wrote that. He saw him who was invisible. He must have had the internal evidence. He certainly saw the burning bush. And we know that Moses and God sat together face to face. And yet that was not God's true form, or Moses would be dead. And so the challenge for us in our Christian life is to see what is invisible. And it goes for the great skeptics and the non-believers of the world as well. Especially in a world so dependent upon seeing. By the Bible's own statement, no one is going to see the Father in his true nature. And yet we run around looking to see the Father in a way that we visually can't accomplish it. And because we can't accomplish it, we say that's evidence that he's not there. And we're wrong. We're wrong. And what kept the patriarchs going? What kept those in prison believing? What keeps ministries moving on? What keeps mothers trusting for the best in their children? Is it not persevering? Because somewhere along the line, we have to see what's invisible. You see, the patriarchs all died. All of them died without seeing. They had promises. And maybe they one night said, God's promises aren't happening. He must be a liar or incapable of fulfilling what he promised. But what he promised came true in Christ. And Hebrews said that they all looked ahead. They all looked ahead to the day of Christ. They all believed. They had to have seen him in the future coming. It says that one of the verses we read said he saw Christ. How did he see Christ? Christ didn't appear for hundreds and hundreds of years after he died. They saw the invisible. They had to. And we have to too. We have to find and take the internal witness, if that's all we have, and not depend upon the sight. It's foolish for a mother to doubt the internal witness, the evidence that she's pregnant. I mean, I knew Vicky was pregnant. It was clear. It was clear that I was about to be a father, and yet I couldn't connect to that. Any father, like, just nod and wink if you understand what I'm saying there. This is happening in your wife. And the internal evidence, external evidence at times wasn't enough. And I depended on sight, and sight wasn't enough. And so at the moment of birth, the invisible became visible. And that's the place we have to help people to get to. That's the place where we have to get to. Where the invisible is visible. What does that mean? I don't know. Maybe the Bible is our night vision goggles or our x-ray heat sensor gun. Maybe the Bible is supposed to be the filter through which these eyes that are not capable of seeing can see. But we must see the invisible. This week, I very briefly spoke to a woman who I thought would be ready to receive the word. We've been working in her yard for a while now, and I've known that she's had some back problems, and she had a procedure. She clearly was in pain, talking about pain medications and issues like that. And I said to her, well, what you need is hope and a miracle. No, you know, remember if you heard her, but her response was swift, and it was not in favor of God. Because this woman, all she has is the evidence of pain. For 11 years, I have no hope. And in that moment, you feel like you've been gut punched. What do I say? What do? How do I help? There must be some scripture I can go to. There must be something I can say. I think sometimes there are times when the only thing we can do is help people see what they cannot see. That's all we can give them. We cannot force it upon them, and we cannot tell them to deny that the pain that they're in. But, there is a reality that is not a shadow. There is a reality that is true, and the reality is that what you see and I see is not all there is to see. Whereas what we know of God is not all that there is to know of God. And what we've experienced of God is not all that there is to experience in God. And when God says by his stripes we are healed, we are healed by his stripes in the reality of the shadows that exist. And somewhere along the line, God is going to heal us totally and completely, if only when we enter into heaven. If that's the place, like me being a father at the presentation of my child, so be it. I'm a father. I'm a healed child of God. I am a conqueror in Christ. And so are you. But we have to find the invisible God and encourage us, each other, to keep looking and to wait. And to remember the cloud of witnesses that we read about in these chapters of Hebrew, who never ever saw what they were promised, but they never fell back. If you just would listen to some of the words, remember those early days after you received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. We love the good old days, right? Well, think about the good old days when you were saved and God was moving in your life and everything was new and everything the scriptures said was true to you. And maybe God healed you or he changed the circumstance or he broke through to depression or whatever it was. And he did that in those days. And Paul is saying, remember that. Remember that. Remember that. That's still true. Even though you don't see it now, it's still true. But then there's a consequence to that. And he says, don't throw away your confidence. It will be rewarded. Like the patriarchs? Yeah, the patriarchs are fully rewarded, fully paid. They're with God. Fully paid. Although they did not receive it when they expected. And it says, Christian maturity, you must persevere. You must. So that when you have done the will of God, I've done the will of God. I do it every day. I think this means when it's done. Not I did it today. When I've persevered and he calls me home and it's done, I will have my reward. It says, when you have done the will of God, you will receive what has been promised. And then verse 11, 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We have to be certain of the invisible. Will we doubt? Will we fear? Will we struggle? Yes. Yes. Because we only see 1% of what's available to see. And I would suspect in the case of God, it's even less than that. But it says, this is what the ancients were commended for having faith in what is not seen. And of course, we read about Moses. He risked everything. And gave up everything to follow what is not visible. That is the one thing that the patriarchs had in common. They all saw from a distance what could not be seen. While it sounds like foolishness and nonsense, we must learn to see the invisible. Colossians 2:17. These are a shadow of the things that were to come, The reality, however, is found in Christ. Everything else is a shadow. Everything else is now and not yet. Everything else is yes, but no. Or not yet. Everything else is, but Christ. He is. He's the radiance of God. He's our connection to God. He's the one who reveals God. He is the very nature of God. He's the one that we need to make that connection. In researching some of this, I came across a writer. This writer, Christian writer, is prolific and well known. And it's just going down the list of books he writes. They're not health, wealth, and prosperity. He writes books like with titles like When You're Disappointed with God. When God Doesn't Make Sense, and that's not one, but that's the theme. Where Is God When There's Pain? These are the books he writes. Because he says that while the mother with the internal evidence is sitting in her chair fully confident, there's a father next to her, using the example, who doesn't have the internal evidence and is struggling to have that same connection with this unborn child. And my words are that he writes about how do we get the internal evidence and how do we get to that place where that's my child. We see now. We see. If you would ask me if I was ready to be a father at any moment before the moment of delivery, my answer in truth, I might have said a lot of things, but the true answer was no. But from that moment that our first daughter appeared, I was a father. I saw what until then had been invisible. But if there are books and books and books and authors and people who struggle to see what is invisible, we have to recognize that in the reality, there are times in all our lives where it's difficult to connect. And that's when we go. Faith is confident of what we do not see. It's Hebrews. Paul was saying that the same wrestling that the patriarchs did is the same wrestling that we'll have to do. But we can be confident. Don't fall back. And there's another thing for election, Gary. If you're elect, you can't fall back. Struggled with this message because it was there. I didn't go looking for it. We could deal with it or not deal with it. We can wrestle or not wrestle. We can be disappointed and move away. Or we can, one more time, for the 1,385,000th time, be confident in what we do know. God's got us locked in an unfair game. He only gave us 1% of vision of seeing all the things. And imagine if we had 90% vision. We could know and we could be assured and we'd be confident because we could see all the evidence and all the truth and all the reality around us. Instead, he gives us 1% and says things like, see the invisible. Come on. I submit to you that Israel saw God not in his genuine nature and his genuine form, but they saw him in the pillars by day, the fire by night. And they sinned in his very presence. So seeing didn't really change anything, did it? And then we go back to, we all would give up, I think, most of us would give up sight last, and yet it's ineffective. So, maybe seeing the invisible isn't so impossible. Isn't that big? Why? Because we have internal evidence. And if God continues to warn us, continues to call us, it means that he's still loving us. We wouldn't wrestle. You know, I wrestled in high school. And in during those wrestling matches, you give all of your physical self. And that leads to those years of thinking, I remember that match in Central Michigan. Remember those things. Why? Because we gave of ourselves. It's kind of our trophy. Wrestling. Wrestling match that we're very often going to be changed. We have to wrestle until the break of dawn. And then quit in the realities. Father, there are a lot of questions we have. And I know that if we were to ask them, your reply might be, go ask Job how many answers I gave him. I also know, Lord, there are some that would never ask you a question. You're God, and that's it. But there's a whole world of people that are in between the two. We very often, Lord, just like to see a glimpse. Would you help us with the internal evidence that makes us confident it's who you are, regardless of our sight? Would you help us to not shrink back? Would you help us to remember those days when we fought fearlessly for you and trusted in you and believed in you? We need to remember those days. Because you were there for us. We need to know that, so. Bless our mothers, Lord. Those that are still with us. Help our future mothers. We thank you, Lord, for making us such a wonderful soldier.